Last time in our study on the book of Ephesians, we began looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and we entitled this passage, The Body Ministry. And we're going to pick up in just a moment where we left off, but before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you first of all for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way in our study today. We pray that you would bless those that are listening today in a special way. Father, we pray that you would bless your word as it goes forth, and we claim the promise that it would not return void, but that it would accomplish what it intended to accomplish this day. And Father, we just ask this all in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. We saw last time as a bit of a review that the body of Christ is a perfect organism designed by the Lord to function in unity. If everyone in the body does what he's called to do, the way he is called to do it according to the right doctrine, the body grows and functions properly. If, however, people in the body decide to follow the wrong doctrine, or to work or not to work in love and faith, the body is not going to work like it's supposed to work. It's going to be sick, as if it had cancer or some debilitating disease or ailment. So we began to look at, in order for a strong growing to have a strong growing body, the body must have, we saw last time, a good head. And of course, the head of our body, the body of Christ, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then we saw also, in order to have a strong growing body, the body must have a good circulatory system. And we liken the ministers that God has blessed the church with, and we saw that they're to preach the word for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Then we also saw, in order to have a strong growing body, the body must have good conformation. See? You expect to see a body that it's balanced and properly proportioned. And to have this, there has to be conformity to a unified faith, a unified knowledge of the Son of God. We also saw, for the body to be a strong growing body, that it also must be a good immune system. It must have strong defenses against its biggest enemies, unsound doctrine and deceivers. Amen. Now, we want to pick up and see that in order for a body to be strong and a growing body, it needs good nourishment. Amen. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4. We read, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." See, just like your natural body, needs to grow spiritually. Just like our natural body needs food to grow, we need to grow, and we only grow by the word of God. And we're told to speak the word in love. Amen. Speak the word in love. Look with me what the words of God have to say. If you turn with me to 1 Peter, amen, 1 Peter, and in 1 Peter, look it with me in chapter number, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. See, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So, just as our natural body, our human body needs nutrition to grow, our food is the Word of God, see? and we need it to grow. Just like a baby needs milk to grow, we need the food, the Word of God, to grow. So we see the Word is to be spoken in love, like the Apostle Paul did for the Thessalonians, amen. And I'm going to have you turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And once we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I want us to look at verses 7 through 13, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 13. This is what the words of God have to say. It says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." This is how, hearing the words of God, we're told how Paul spoke and taught to these believers at Thessalonica. Gentle, see? In the illustration he uses, as a nurse cherisheth her children. Verse 8, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you've heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So here, the Apostle Paul, we are told, amen, this is how he spoke and he taught the word of God to the believers at Thessalonica. You know, he was affectionate towards them, amen. He wanted to see them grow, amen, in the things of the Lord. He was a comfort to them. He charged them, amen, did he not? He charged them as he says, a father doth his children, to do right, to walk worthy. Amen. And then he was thankful that the word that he spoke to them, they received it as the word of God. And it received it not as men, amen, you know, as the words of men, but as the truth, the word of God, and that word effectually worked in them. See? So we need, as a body, to grow, to be strong, it needs good nourishment. And so doesn't the body of Christ. And also, in order for a body to grow and to be strong, it needs good health. It needs good health. Look at verse 16 in Ephesians chapter 4. We read this, "From whom the whole body fitted jointly together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, a person can be limited by a missing or injured limb, or by a part of the body that is not working properly. We see here then, it says, the whole body fitly joined together. like through core workouts, everybody in the body doing his part. We see that when he says the effectual working in the measure of every part. Look in Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, I want us to look at verse number 4. Galatians 6, with me, verse number 4. Notice what the words of God say. But let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What does that mean? Well, prove our own work. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we? And if we're doing it, and we're doing it right, we're doing a good job, we're doing what we're supposed to do for the Lord, then we can rejoice. But we have to stop and see and make sure that we're doing our part in the body of Christ. Amen. See? Everybody has a job to do. God has called us to do. And so the whole body is to be fitly joined together. And then we see, again, every, it says here in verse 16 of Ephesians 4, every joint supplying needs. Everybody in the body supporting each other. Amen? That's what has to happen. Everybody in the body supporting each other. Look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. But ye bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See? Within the body of Christ, at times, we're all going to need some kind of a support. Amen. We may not be able to carry that burden alone. So, other believers should help support that believer. Help him bear his burden. Amen. And by doing that, so fulfill the law of Christ. So what's the results? Amen. Amen. Of all these things that we need to do to help the body to grow strong, amen, and continue to grow. And of course, we're referring to the body of Christ. Well, what's the result? If we do all the things that we talked about in this study, well, what's going to happen is the body maketh increase of itself in love. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, we just read in verse 16. It says, making the increase, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. See? So that's one of the results. And as a result, so you get a growing, healthy body. Now, when any of these things is missing that we talked about, then the body isn't going to grow. And see, unfortunately, the growth you see in modern churches today is not growth in the body. Most of the people in these movements have a form of godliness, but they are not members of the body. And many of them aren't even saved. So that concludes then our study there in Ephesians 4. Amen. In verses 11 through 16. So now we're going to go to verse 17. Amen. And we're going to look at verses 17 through 19, and we're going to entitle this passage, Walk Not as Gentiles. Walk not as Gentiles. So what I want us to do now is read verses 17 through 19 together, Ephesians chapter 4. The words of God say this, This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being enlightened from the life of God, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, Paul describes in detail how unsaved Gentiles walk. Amen? So, what we're going to look at is how a lost Gentile walks. A lost Gentile walks, first of all, in vanity. In vanity. In other words, worthlessness. Why? Because he has a vain mind. He considers himself to be wise, but he is vain in his imagination because he has no godly wisdom. You see, wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. Amen. The fear of the Lord. Look with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, look with me at verses 21 to 22, and notice what the very words of God say. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And here is, in the words of God, talking about the unsaved man, mankind. All of mankind knows there's a God, but they don't glorify him. Amen. See? They don't give. They're not thankful that there's a God. No. What happens? They become vain in their imaginations. Amen. Their imaginations, their thoughts, which are worthless. Amen. And their foolish hearts. See, the heart is full of foolishness, is darkened. See. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, notice what the words of God say here in verse number 20. It says, "And again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." See? The wise, the worldly wise he's talking about. Wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. Thus, the wisdom of this world is absolutely contrary to the wisdom of God. So we see, first of all, a lost Gentile walks in vanity. Second of all, he walks in darkness. He walks in darkness because his understanding is darkened. He needs light to direct his path, light that comes from the words of God. Turn to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, notice verse 105, what the words of God say. Talking about describing the word of God. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." See, the word of God is a light to direct us to do away with the shadows of things so we can see clearly what's immediately in front of us and what's down the road. Now, when that Gentile, that lost Gentile, who walks in darkness, when he is in the dark, then he ends up following the wrong crowd. Amen. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, I want us to look at verses 12 through 15. This is what the words of God say. "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaveth the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. This is what happens to those who are in darkness. They end up following the wrong crowd, who we just read about here in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. See, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See, the Pharisees in Jesus' days were in so much darkness that they killed the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so we're told here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, walk not as the Gentiles. And we're looking at how a lost Gentile walks. He walks in vanity, he walks in darkness, and he walks in alienation. Why? Because he is separated from the love and the life of God. You see, my dear friend, when we get saved, we cannot be separated from the love of God. Look in Romans chapter 8 with me. In Romans chapter 8, look with me and read with me verses 38 to 39. Words of God say this: For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord for that. We have eternal security, those of us that are saved. Now, but since the lost Gentile is not saved, he is alienated, that's right, from the life of God. Look with me in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. And we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, it says, He that hath the Son hath life. Those of you listening today who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting in that and that alone to save you, then you have life. But it says, He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So, those who are lost, those that are not saved, we see are alienated from the life of God. And then John chapter 3, verse 36, I want you to turn there as well. And we see in John chapter 3, verse 36, what the Word of God here says. John 3, verse 36, it says, He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. Those of you listening today who have believed on the Son of God, believe it's only His shed blood that saves you, pays for your sin and secure you a home in heaven, then you have everlasting life. And then it says, And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See? Those who are not saved, they're alienated from the life of God. So, the lost Gentile, truly he wants nothing to do with God. That's right. Again, let me remind our listeners, we're looking as the passage today, Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 19, tells us, walk not as Gentiles. And we're looking at how a lost Gentile walks. He walks in vanity, darkness, alienation, and also ignorance. Because he is ignorant of God and God's words. See? Just like the ignorance of the Athenians that worship idols in Acts chapter 7, verses 28 to 31. They actually thought their superstition that they were worshiping God and that those idols could help them, when in fact idols could do absolutely nothing. Amen. The lost Gentile also walks in blindness. Why? Because his heart is blind to the truth. The people most knowledgeable on the law of the law when Jesus was here were the Pharisees. Yet in all of their study, They came to no understanding of the truth because they were blind. Turn to Matthew 23 with me. In Matthew 23, first look at verse 16, we read, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." Look at in verse 17, "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" Verse 19, "Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift?" Verse 24, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Verse 26, "Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within, the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." These supposedly knowledgeable religious men of Jesus' days were blind, having no understanding of the truth. Look with me also in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you would. And in 2 Timothy, we want to look at chapter number 3, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7, the words of God say this: "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." That's exactly what these religious people were in Jesus' day, exactly what they were doing. They were ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We have many today religious leaders that are the same way. Now, we also see that these Gentiles, these lost Gentiles, they walked in callousness. Amen. Callousness. Why? Because that lost person is past feeling. He cannot feel the convicting work of his conscience. Amen. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. The words of God say this: "Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." See, their past feeling, their conscience has been seared. They've rejected the truth so many times that they'll never hear it again. They're callous. They walk in callousness because that lost person, he cannot feel the effects of sin without increasing the frequency and intensity of it. Look in Romans chapter 6 with me, verse 19. In Romans chapter 6, verse 19, the words of God say this: "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." See? "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh." See? Whoever you yield yourself to, you become a servant to. If you yield yourself to iniquity, uncleanness, that's who you are a servant to. Amen. So we're looking at how a lost person walks. Amen. And we're told not to walk as the lost Gentiles walked. But we've seen so far that a lost Gentile walks in vanity, darkness, alienation, ignorance, blindness, and callousness. And then when we come back together and we continue our study through the book of Ephesians, we'll look at some other things, how a lost Gentile walks and how we're not to walk as believers, as a lost Gentile walks. So I hope you'll join me next time as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.